We're going to kick off this little bit different evening tonight. We have a panel here tonight, and I guess I should first introduce myself. I'm Catherine, and I'm a groups leader as well. Me and my husband Josh have a mixed group here at church. Yep, it's on Thursday nights. If you're still looking for someone, Josh is going to kill me because we're running out of room, but it's going to be great. There's always room. But I'm going to kick off by introducing our incredible panel here tonight. And we're actually going to dig in a little bit deeper into the topic devoted to hospitality. Who was here this morning and heard Pastor Danielle's incredible message? I'm feeling on fire and so excited. So I would like to start by introducing our incredible senior pastor, 50% of the senior pastor team in our church, 100% yes. of the woman side
yes.
of it.
Yes, come on.
Our own, very own senior
Thank
pastor.
You.
And she has a very special gift. Not only is she a preacher, not only are you prophetic, but she's also got the cupcake gift. It's a unique one. I don't know if it's in the Bible, but it really ministers to me. So if you've been lucky enough to have experienced
I'm feeling the need to bake. I really am. Just truly. Leading into this weekend, I'm like, I need to get in my kitchen and just get some cupcakes happening. Definitely.
I prophesy that. Absolutely. I support
this
cupcakes
week.
All the time.
Yes.
And next to our amazing senior pastor, Danielle, is our pastor, Josh Stott.
Hi.
Hello, Pastor Josh. Josh is our young adults leader with his amazing wife, Shekinah. And amongst many other things, you're a pastor on staff here, director of many areas, and just does so much for this church. And we love you and you're awesome. And you're also a bit of a barbecue master, I have experienced.
I don't know about master, but I do barbecue, yeah.
Yeah, so
smoking.
Smoked meat.
Little known secret there, so... That, or maybe not a little known secret, but yeah, he does a great barbecue. And then we have David Morris here. Can everyone give him a round of applause as well?
I got a round of applause.
David and his lovely wife Beata also helped on the leadership team for the young adults. You guys host some of the dinners, the meals, I believe, and you are one of our groups leaders as well for young men. So it's going to be an amazing night. And also, I hear that. David, also, you're a bit of a barbecue master as well.
I'm Josh's Padawan.
He's coming up in the world. So that's interesting. But it's not all about food tonight. It's not all, but it does have a little bit to do with food because we are digging into the topic of hospitality. And I have a few notes here because... we jumped into this and we kind of pivoted this tonight. And so if I'm looking at my notes, just forgive me a little bit. But I wanted to sort of start by talking about the theme for the year. Awesome. Acts. It comes out of the scripture in Acts 2:42, and it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to eating together and to prayer." And tonight we're going to be digging in to find out how we too can really make the most out of our potential for hospitality. And every person here, we believe, has the ability to lean into this. Is that right? Yes. So I'm going to be asking the team some exciting questions. We're going to dig in a little deeper. Pastor Danielle's already shared incredibly. So I might even get her to recap a little bit later on a few of the points that you made this morning, because we need to carry them with us, and I don't want anyone to miss out. But earlier this year, Pastor John, when he was sharing the vision and the theme for the year, he was also sharing about the four pillars that are presented in this scripture. Does anyone know what they are that we're leaning into this year? The four pillars of hospitality. Does anyone know what the scripture brings up? Anyone? No? Devoted to the Word of God, to community, to hospitality, and to prayer. Yeah, all mentioned in the scripture. It's pretty easy. But this is what we're digging into tonight. So this is what we're leaning into for the year. And you know, if you haven't intentionalized that yet, even though we mentioned it in January and it's now June, that's okay. It's okay. There's no
judgment.
Time like the present.
No judgment.
A little
no
bit
time
of judgment.
Like the present to start. So to kick off, I thought we would play a bit of a game. Because we love to have fun at this church. So we've got a game. It's called This or That. And it's pretty easy. So let me just explain the rules. I'm going to say two things, two items, and if you like the first one, you just put up number one, and if you like the second one, you put up two fingers, okay? It's pretty simple. Does that make sense to you?
Got it.
Let's
yes.
practice.
Can I understand the simple instructions? Practice.
Queensland or New South Wales?
I'm so confused.
Queensland.
I'm confused. Queensland. I don't know anymore.
Queensland.
I don't know. Queensland. My identity's in question.
I can't
talk about it.
Queensland.
Oh, okay. I don't want to bring division in the church, so let's carry on. So a good game is a fast game, so I'm going to move quickly. So are we ready?
Yeah.
AFL or NRL? Oh, I like that, Pastor Danielle. I'm with you. Number one, wine or beer? Wine or beer? Oh, I thought we would have someone say water. Salty or sweet? Oh, salty or sweet? Salty or sweet? Two salties and a sweet, okay? Here's a really important question. Crocs or thongs? Oh, yes.
Oh. All day.
David, well, we just learned something way too much about David. Call or text? Call or text? Oh, yeah. Okay, one caller. That's nice. You're an old-fashioned type of man. Window seat or aisle seat? Window seat or aisle seat? What have we got? One, two, and a one. Okay, there you go. I thought my husband was a window seat recently, and I booked us all wrong, didn't I, babe? I'm so sorry. He's an aisle seat man. So it's an important one to know, wives. It's important. Breakfast or dinner? Oh, yes! And that's why we're talking about hospitality tonight. And look, I'm going to do one more because this divides my house. Vegemite or Promite? The church is divided. Good, good one. It's so good to get to know you. I think we're all getting to know them a little bit better. Fantastic. It's nice to know a few more things about you, but what we would really like to know is a little bit more about the theme along the lines of the theme. So I thought, Pastor Danielle, I'd love to start with you and just ask you a little bit about why being devoted to hospitality is so important to you.
Well, it's important to me, I guess, because it's important to God. God talks about it a lot in the scriptures, this one being one of them. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about, well, around food. Jesus' ministry was all about food and being amongst people around the table, feeding, turning water into wine was the first miracle that he did. He just loved the hospitality. And so if it's important to God, it's important to me. And I love the heart that's behind it. It's not just about the food, like you say. It's about the heart and about the love connection that it comes out of. And so God is love. And so to show people love and to show connection amongst people, it really does take you to a deeper sense of relationship, doing life together, enjoying the journey together. I love it.
Absolutely. I love that. It's so much more than just like serving a person food, but it's actually having that heart-to-heart moment with the person that I feel like sometimes food actually opens the door to people's hearts. Interesting.
Absolutely.
Like not just the stomach.
Absolutely.
But the heart.
Yeah. And the being they devoted themselves to sharing in meals. It's
yes.
just that such lean in.
Beautiful.
Choose to do it. I choose to be committed to it. I choose to love it like God loved it, like Jesus loved it.
Absolutely.
Out of this very scripture.
So what I'm hearing is
it's
that
sacred.
It's actually an act of service as well, really, isn't it?
It is serving others.
It's a way that we
others.
Can serve yes. our family and our friends, so that's
and
beautiful.
And Sam referred to it earlier, sacred hospitality. We used to call it sacred
that's
hospitality because
right.
there is something very sacred about the hospitality, being hospitable. This year's theme, we've called it devoted to hospitality, but there really is a sacredness to it.
I love that. And Pastor Josh, I'll ask you the same question. Tell us, why is it that you love hospitality? What is it about hospitality for you?
Yeah, like obviously the Jesus reason for it. He's obviously passionate about it, so I jump onto that. But but I'll add to it, and Pastor Devin referred to it this morning, is that in my walk with God, hospitality has actually played such a key role. So for me growing up, single parent home, like dinner at the dinner table didn't exist. Grace didn't exist. And yeah, there was a moment where I had dinner with Pastor John and Dan and all their family, and it was at the table, and it was calm, and calm-ish. And, you know, they're saying grace, and they're talking about how everyone's week is, what was their highlight, low light, things like that. Yes. And I personally had never experienced that before in my upbringing. And but it made me feel so loved, made me feel so connected, and really, really just, I walked away going, wow, I would love to bring what they just brought to me, I one day hope to bring to others. And give them that, not just feed them, but that same feeling as well. Yes. So, yeah, that's a bit
that's
of why.
That's incredible. And you know what? I've been lucky enough to come to your house, and I can tell you right now that that's what you're doing for our young adults, and we see the fruit of that. We're really thankful for that. That's amazing. And that's really a legacy in this house. It's really beautiful. That's amazing. So, David, I feel like we're going through the generations now. David, tell me, why is hospitality important to you? What does it mean to you?
Yeah, echoing exactly what these guys are, I don't really have anything else to add. I think they've said it all. It's important to God, so of course it's going to be important to me. And you see the fruit of that in my life, where, same as Josh, I mean, I had a great family upbringing where my parents were always having people in our home, annoyingly so. Even as an extrovert, annoyingly so. It's like Christmas Day. Hey, everyone come around. Yay. But
oh, that's funny.
But the fruit of that is like seeing people around us or seeing people lifted up from their situation. And I'm like, the amount of times that I myself or Piatra and I have been invited over to someone's home, how selfish of us not to do the same thing in the joy that it brought us when we were brought to someone's home. We should be able to sacrifice a little bit of our time to invest in those around us, whether it be friends or whether it be people who don't know Jesus or whether it be young adult dinners or anything like that. It's a small sacrifice, but the transaction of joy in their life is a fruit that we want to see come out of us. So
beautiful. That's really amazing that you share that. And it's interesting because I also grew up in a family where our house was full of people all the time. I only knew Christmas. I thought everyone had strangers at the Christmas table. I actually did. I didn't know what that was like. But there's a good and a bad to that, like, obviously. But there was a side to Christmas, and there still is very much to me, that my parents sowed a heart for the lost. And I think that that's really what we're getting down to when we're talking about the heart of hospitality, is like our heart is for everyone to feel like they are included. Like, there's always room at the table, right? And so, you know, our parents really gave that to us. And I think we're blessed in that way, and we're really thankful for that. So that's pretty special. Awesome. Well, my next question, I thought I would start with Pastor Josh. Because we really want to talk about what God says about being hospitable. What is it that God says? We all said it's the heart of God, but what was it that he exemplified, I guess, Jesus in the Bible, or what is it that's our biblical stance, or what's your biblical stance on it?
Yeah, like, when I look at the ministry or the life of Jesus that's recorded in the Gospels, there's two sides of how he connected with people. There's he goes to the temple, he's preaching, he's going to villages, there's the huge crowds that are following him, he's speaking to them, he's praying for them. There's all these miracles that are happening through the Bible. But then on the flip side of it as well, all through those Gospels, there's stories of Jesus having meals with people, getting criticized for having meals with those who other religious people might have rejected, or meals with his disciples and unpacking truths for them. And so for me, I think sometimes I see people wrestle, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
like, it's either the big church gathering and no homes, or the home gathering and against the big church gathering. But really, my belief is it's both. It's, we're called to gather bigger. We want to pray for people. We want to hear the word of God. But we're also, I feel, called to gather in a smaller setting,
yes,
where we can just connect at a deeper level,
yeah,
and talk about the good things of God. And ultimately, what Jesus did was he just blessed people. And that's what I go, like, oh, this is a moment for us to get people in our home to bless. So I guess from a, that's how I think about it. So.
Does anyone else have something to add to that one? Specifically, I want to make room. If like, from a biblical standpoint, David, what do you think? Like, what is it that kind of stood out to you, even this morning, from what Pastor Danielle was talking about?
Well, I wasn't here this morning, but I heard it was amazing. I'm really sorry. We're at the Ginger
That's okay.
Factory. It was, that was good. There's no Bible verses at the Ginger Factory. Yeah, I mean, it really is that he was scrutinized for eating with sinners and tax collectors and making time for that. And but he did it anyway because his posture for those was love. And I think for you and I, when we're inviting people into our home, it's not to show off. It's not really to flex a hospitality muscle, I suppose, but it's supposed to be a transaction of love. You know, when they first raised Devoted to Hospitality, it was like, you know, Tim Tams and tea. We haven't done that, but I've served raw meat. I've served overcooked meat. I've served, you know, everything in the middle. I've served dinner way too late and cooked it so it's cold. But by the time they arrive, and there's no rhyme or reason, it doesn't need to be perfect, but our hope is that they leave feeling blessed.
Right.
And I know that when you look at the life of Jesus, whoever encountered Jesus in a moment of hospitality left feeling blessed. So if that's a transaction that and that's the posture of our heart, then I think it's good.
Absolutely. And Pastor Danielle, was there anything that you wanted to add?
Oh, I think it's the one another care, and that's mentioned so many times in the New Testament. Love one another, greet one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, be hospitable to one another. And this is the one another that a church is. It's the body of Christ, that it's not a pastoral team that goes out connecting everyone, but it's the one another amongst ourselves. And this is why we have small groups. And it comes, and the scripture, I don't know if we've got it out of Peter, that says, it comes from a deep love. And this is what actually develops that deep love, loving one another, encouraging, being hospitable to one another. Because it's this one another care that really strengthens a church. And the hospitality is the one focus that we're spotlighting for this year, to really strengthen the local church and for everybody in our house to be inclusive, but to feel that connection to the body of Christ.
Absolutely. And I really think that it's so important for us to ground what we're doing in the Word, to really understand why Jesus did this and exemplified it to us, and why the early church lived in this way, because it's actually an outflow of what the Holy Spirit was doing at the time. And it's an outflow when the Holy Spirit's moving in and through us. It brings us together as a community, you know, and that to me is truly Acts 2 type of church, and that's really what this church has always been about. So it's really beautiful. So I'm wondering if there's anyone, Pastor Danielle, we'll start with you, that you looked up to or that you modeled yourself after when you were coming along in your hospitality journey.
Oh, it's the same story as you guys. It's my mum was an amazing model of a hospitality person that was inclusive of strangers. And this is the where we're saying it's not just about having your friends over, having a great time. It's including people on the outer, on the fringe, or that you don't know. You might be entertaining strangers. And she was that model to us. And the Christmas day was, we would call them the randoms. Like, you know, they're just, the randoms are invited for Christmas day. It's like, what? This is, you know, like family. But it was such an open door. And that's such a beautiful model. moral to me of just the inclusive hospitality, that it's just embracing of people and getting to know ones that you normally wouldn't. I have a friend, Christy, in our church. She's a small group leader, Christy and Jake. They've got six kids. And you would think chaos and crazy, but they make hospitality so simple, and it's just such a beautiful... I wouldn't say it's calm, it's full of life, but because she simplifies it, she's able to put on dinner for guests because it's just out of love, and you feel that love. And I just think that's the model of hospitality, can make it work even with six kids, and that to me is an inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Pastor Josh, do you have anyone that, I mean, obviously you were really impacted by Pastor John and Danielle and that experience, but along the journey, has there been others that you've looked to or?
Yes, so many great leaders in our church. So yeah, Pastor John and Dan, obviously, I've been in their home in different capacity over the years, and that's always been a blessing to me. But like Russell, Marita Smith, have always been a great blessing to us as well, having us in their homes at different times. And yeah,
I love that. So what I'm hearing is this can be learned. Yes. We're not necessarily born with it.
Yes.
What about you, David?
Even if, sorry, can I just say, even if you've seen it modeled to you, you still have to learn it yourself. Like, you're still going to have crazy stuff-ups. Even though I've seen my mum cook amazing food, I still have to be the one to then do it and just fail at it and just, yeah, over-burn everything and dry whatever, or just go, oh, what is my, yeah, learning capacity in this season of life?
Yes, and we're going to get to hospitality fails in just a moment. But, David, is there anyone that has influenced your hospitality journey or, you know... It inspired you along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to both of these guys' homes, and amazing. I like bring fun factor and bring excellence in food and just making you feel loved, all that kind of stuff. Like, the fun factor is always a huge one. But I honestly, just going to our friends' houses, I mean, it's as simple as that. Like, for a lot of us, it's when I sit or when we sit at the table with our friends, often a board game comes out or a card game comes out. And so we adopted that. It's like, I was never a card game guy or a board game guy, but now we have a cupboard full of board games. And so that came just by fellowshipping with our friends. And,
I love that.
You know, of course, family and all that kind of stuff. But even just looking to your peers is a really good way.
Is there a particular board game that kind of is your go-to?
I don't even think we've played the same one ever. Like, we have that many that we play a different one every single time. But a classic that we got off the Hickmans is Catan. Any Catan fans?
Oh, Catan. That's going deep, though, isn't it? That's like a commitment.
Yeah, that's a commitment. That reels them in. They're stuck there for a couple of hours. Or the Monopoly Deal.
That's a good one. That's my favourite. Yeah.
Except when it gets personal and people take it out on you and keep robbing you or stealing all your houses and everything. Oh, it gets painful. Yeah. Tell you. Yeah. If you're competitive.
How's that game gone for you?
banned at the minute.
The fun factor leaves very quickly.
I love that. Well, that's another topic that we could talk about next time, is who is the most competitive person in the house. But we're talking about unity and hospitality, so we'll keep it on track. But I did love the idea of talking about some hospitality fails. And, you know, I really ruminated with that this morning when you said that, Pastor Danielle, because recently Josh and I had a group of people over for curry night. I'm not the chef in the house. Josh is an amazing cook. He's really good, and he loves to make curry from scratch, which is, I'm just a blessed woman. But that day, I had begged him to put button mushrooms in the curry. Normally, he just... blends up the mushrooms into the sauce, so you wouldn't even know. But that day he put some in just for me because I was bugging him to do it, and thank God we did, because Fiona Robinson came over and she saw the mushroom in the curry and she said, oh, that's all right, I'm allergic to mushrooms, I'll just pick them out. And we went, oh, no, this is a mushroom curry, and it's all blended in, there's like dried rehydrated mushrooms. I'm like, so how allergic are you? And she's like, oh, we would have been going to hospital. So the poor girl had to eat McDonald's while everybody else got to have an amazing...
That's a win. That's not a loss. That's awesome.
Wow. She would have found out the hard way. What?
She's alive.
Oh, my gosh.
She's good. She's doing really well.
Crisis averted.
We also almost poisoned another friend because there was shrimp paste. So we're now just going to keep it to steak and sausages, I think. Like, we just need to cut it down. Cut
yes.
back on the curry nights.
Oh.
What about you, Pastor Josh? Have you had any, like, curry fails or hospitality fails?
A little while ago, we had a young adult dinner hosted at our house, and I slow cooked some beautiful meat. And
wow.
It was delicious. It was amazing. It was amazing. Unfortunately, it was probably more of a snack for our young adults than actually dinner. And so, yeah, we had people leaving our house. Not enough food. We had people leaving our house, and you could, yeah. We're gonna go to Macca's now.
Underestimated.
Those that did get food were blessed, and... Yeah, the others that didn't.
I was blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what
Sam Stolberg was not blessed in that night, so anyway.
Sorry, bro.
So what you're saying is quantity over quality.
For young adults, yeah. So, yeah. So.
Good to know. We'll take that tip. And what about you, David?
Just a really simple one. Our friends Rich and Kim... And us organised dinner, and next Wednesday, that was the plan, next Wednesday, and then next Wednesday came, it was 7 p.m, and then we looked at our watch at 7:30 and went, do we have something on tonight? And but thankfully they forgot too, so it was all good. There was no offence taken on either side, right? Yeah, we're still waiting to reconvene. We'll
That's
do it.
Amazing. Is that because you both have young children, do you think? Are we going to blame
it on
this?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Pastor Danielle, you shared some really great ones this morning. Do you want to share the highlights?
Well, we had the opposite of that, because we had people turn up to our house and we'd forgotten. And so then knocking on the door and we're open. Who could that be? Oh, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night, and we open it. It's like, hi. And we were terrible at acting, because they're like, you weren't expecting us, were you? No. But come in anyway, and yeah, we'll work it out. So there was that one. Just a funny story. I don't know, that was a shocker. It was just a choice of language, but we used to make it work. Oh, well, when the kids are little and growing up and everything, the house is just mess. And you're like, oh, get out of here. Like, we don't want to have to spend hours and hours cleaning up to get people there. So we'd go to parks and have picnics or whatever. But anyway, we got to the point, and the boys were teenagers, and we're like, oh, we should be able to actually handle this now. But we sat down. We were just having dinner one night, and I said to them, you guys... You know, you got your bedrooms downstairs. You really need to tidy up downstairs, because it's so messy. It's horrible. We just can't tolerate it. It's like a brothel down there. Anyway, so, I mean, that's just an expression that we used growing up. All of our parents used it. It was just a normal thing that if it's messy, it's like a brothel down there. Well, my preteen daughter was at the table, and she didn't know what a brothel was. So she says, Mom, what's a brothel? I'm just like, oh, no, not like that. I'm like trying to explain what a brothel is without saying that's what's happening downstairs. It's nothing to do with that. And so I had to retract that and say, no, it's just mess, it's just dirty, and I'll never use that expression again.
That's great. We're all taking notes. I hope everybody's taking notes.
Don't take notes on that. Oh, my gosh.
What not to do. I love it. That's really funny. But I really took away from this morning, actually, a sense that it's not about perfection. It's really about stepping out, and it's really about just opening up your heart to other people.
We love perfection though, Kat.
I know.
We love it. It's so hard to let it go. It's something that you just fight until you just have to give in to. We've got our ideals, right? And we've got our standards, but then reality It kicks in, and if we actually want to do hospitality in our busy lives and in our worlds where there is, I don't know, less time, there's less energy, there's lots of things competing for our attention, we have to let those ideals go. So the perfectionism, sadly, it goes out the window, even though the recipients of the hospital don't actually care, right?
Yes.
Like, as if they just, in a home that's filled with love and not stress, because you've been running around like crazy chook for hours trying to get the house pristine, then exactly. That just creates this level of tension and stress. So it really is letting that go. It's okay.
So
and,
good.
You know, you can kind of have this, what are they going to think about me if they see this? I'm so sorry for all the mess, you know, but it's not really about that.
Yes.
It's about the love and the the hospitable heart.
So true. And I guess in closing, before we actually finish up, I would love to hear some, on the flip side, tips and tricks. And this morning you actually shared some incredible tips just to help us to lean in. So if you're starting this journey, if this is something that you're stepping into and like, maybe you've been a little bit resistant because it feels like it is a lot, you know, and it can be pretty intimidating. If you've never had people over to your home before, it can be intimidating. If you're newish to the church or you don't know people, sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, it's a big step to do this. So Pastor Danielle actually shared some incredible tips, and I would love it if you could just recap on those. And then if you gentlemen wouldn't
add
mind just adding in any other thoughts or ideas that you've had along the way.
Yeah, look, I'm all about the practical of how to actually make it work at the real level, because it can all be great in theory and we can actually be fully on board and I commit to this and my intention is there, but then...
Right.
I don't know, life just gets busy or stuff happens and you come to June, you go, oh my gosh, I haven't done this, devoted to hospitality, I really wanted to lean into it. So, well, just a couple of quick thoughts. I would say there would be people here, you don't have a home, right? You don't have your own place, and how can right. you invite people into that home? So that can be a challenge. But if you go, okay, let's look at hospitality differently. How can you organize things for people to get together? It needs organization. So we can have young adult dinners and on a Sunday night, and that's an organized church activity. But we're talking outside of that.
Yes.
Someone needs to organize things of gathering people together and booking a restaurant or sending out invites, setting a date or having a picnic and bringing a picnic rug or whatever. So even if you don't have a home or a place where you can bring people into, you can still be hospitable. So that's just one little tip out there. Another would be the I don't have time or I don't have energy, like I just need to chill out. So there's actually... If you're committed to doing it, I guess you can make time. So if it's important to God, it's important to us. So how can we do that? One is the combo activity. So Kim and Rich talked about this earlier. Sunday, they're out at church anyway. Why don't they just tack on a couple of hours doing a lunch or doing a dinner? You're going to be, you know, you've already set this time aside for church on a Sunday. So add a little bit of extra time to that. So that combo thing or before small group, it's not like another night out, but you can combo with that. I'm definitely into the spontaneous. It doesn't have to be pre-planned, but often that can help make it happen if you're not spontaneous. If you are awesome, you'll do it and it will just naturally happen because you've got a heart for it. If not, you need to really... calendarize, Sam. You referred to it earlier. I'm big on it because it's like, okay, where are the gaps in your life? Where's the gap in your month? Where, if you look at June, well, maybe you should just look at the month of June in a calendar and go, what does my life look like? What have I got in this month? Where can I fit in some people? I want to do it, so let me see where there's a gap or a window. It might be an early morning, 6:15 connect group. Ash does on a Saturday morning. I mean, different things for different people. It might be a late night thing. It might be a dinner. It might be an afternoon tea for us. Public holidays has been working for us this first half of the year. It's just like, okay, we're going to designate afternoon tea from 3 to 5 on a public holiday. So that's really worked for us this first half of the year when there's loads of public holidays. We'll have to look at something different for the second. But really, I would just encourage you to go, okay, let me look at where's some gaps in my life and let's just aim for that. Because if you do pre-plan it in, it's more likely to happen than if you just get to the end of the week and go, oh, I don't know, I'm tired, I just want a chill weekend, let's leave it. When we do it, we pre-plan it. We're so glad that we did it. Even if we're absolutely exhausted beforehand and we're like, oh, how can we do this? Then we have it. And the people, it's just energizing. So making that work. And just the third one would be just if you don't have very much money, just keep it super simple. If you don't have very much skill in cooking or baking or whatever, just like the barbecue chicken and the pre, you know, made coleslaw, like absolutely. It's just keep it simple. We can have this, oh, it's got to be gourmet. It's got to be amazing. We've got to bless everyone with our skills and our kitchen abilities. But it's really just keep it simple and on a budget. It can be a cup of tea. Like really, just take out that whole ideal perspective and just bring it down to what can work in reality.
Beautiful. I love that. And you know, when you were talking about budget and not having a place, you know, when Mum and Dad started this church, we used to meet on Friday nights at the Spit every Friday night, and people could bring a picnic, or they could get fish and chips, whatever the budget allowed, and no one needed a house, you could just bring a blanket and anyone could come, and it was so easy, and you know, that is just a way of doing it, no budget at all, really, and no need for even a room or a house. We're very lucky that where we live that there's actually opportunities all over for picnics.
Amazing.
On Alex Hill.
Gorgeous.
What about you, Pastor Josh?
Yeah, I think something that we've adopted is not being afraid to, like, often when you invite people over, they ask this question, what can I bring? And so using that as an opportunity, it's like, oh, we'll work out the main, but you bring dessert. Or if you've got multiple couples over, it's like maybe you can bring bread rolls and you can bring drinks and things like that. So I think don't feel guilty or bad about sharing the load with people that are coming over. And most of the time people love that as well.
Yes.
I think the other thing is we're like, for my family, we're in young family zone. So sometimes if we invite another family or a couple of families over that have young kids, it can become a bit of a chaos farm. So, but just things like, just simple things of like, okay, we'll meet at our house, we've got the food, and we'll walk to the park down the road, and the kids can burn the energy, we can sit at a table and chat. So just don't limit it to just your home. If there's a place that you can go that gives something the kids to do so you can connect, that can be just as life-giving. I find it just as life-giving in a park as it is in my home as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I used to meet a lot of young mums at McDonald's, like Playlands. And we did lots of, especially when Josh and I just had Caleb, we would always meet for coffee with my friends at McDonald's Playland, the kids. We could actually put them in a gated area. We could watch them and wave, and they couldn't run anywhere. It was wonderful.
Exactly. Safety. Safety as well.
Safety. So it was absolutely, that's a tip. And what about you, David? In your phase of life, you guys are pretty busy. You've got a young one, and so what are the tips that you have for young families doing this?
Look, it's never convenient. And even the days you plan it, that day is not convenient. The day arrives and you're too tired, or the day arrives and you had a bad day at work, or whatever it is. But there's never been a day or an evening where we've had people over and gone, thank gosh they're gone. Like, seriously, like, it's always a joy.
Yeah.
It's always life-giving. And for us, really, there is that spiritual component. There is a transaction that happens when you have people in your home or when you go to someone's home. So, really, my only tip is be a person of prayer. When you're leaning into having someone coming into your home, invite the Holy Spirit into your home. Just ask that He'd be with you. Like, this is a spirit. There's something spiritually significant about fellowshipping and having hospitality with others. So, and then when we go to other people's homes, that we would be a blessing to them, whether that be with great conversation or whether that be with the dessert we bring or whatever it is. But just that that the presence of God would be with us, and that there would be a meaningful conversation or something that comes out of that.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Well, church, that brings us to the end of the questions that I have for our beautiful panel tonight. Would you give them a hand as they make their way down off the stage. Thank you all so much for sharing.